Let's do this. We're going to dismiss now. So here's what we're going to do. Teenagers, you go across the way to the chapel. Everybody outside on the patio, come inside here. You should be either going to the chapel or coming in here. No one just walking around, please. And guys, can we close the window? Can you get a little bit of music for that for me? All right, let's all stand for a second. Teenagers out, adults in. This will be our last split session of the summer. Don't complain about standing. I have to stand the whole time, okay? So you get to sit for a while. Okay? Everybody somewhere, right? Isn't that where everybody is? Everybody is somewhere. Be seated, please. Let's turn your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 30. If we could close that door back there, Brother Chim. Proverbs chapter number 30. And we're going to read verses 11 to 14. I want you to hear me tonight. It's some of the stuff you've heard, and some won't be real popular, and that's okay. That's fine. We can live with that. And I'm going to try. I want to give it with the right spirit, because I think it's very practical. But I think it'll help us if we'll listen tonight. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11 to 14. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. And let's pray. Father, please bless our few minutes tonight, Lord. It'll be nothing earth-shattering, but something very practical and helpful if we would listen to it as parents and give thought to what we're about to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The fight for Christianity. We are looking, we believe in what we call the next generation. In other words, it is our desire that as adults, that the faith that we possess and we profess passes on to our children, and it goes to the next generation. Someone was asking me the other day that, well, what do you do about a generation that's already been lost? Well, I did not come from a Christian a family. I came from a broken home. First time I ever went to church, I think I was 10 or 11 years old. Second time I went to church, I was in high school. And that's because other people invited me. And so I did not come from a Christian upbringing, Christian family. So I'm I'm first generation. And so in my family line, it would start with me. Now, I guess I became second generation because my mom got saved after I got saved. So, but in a sense, I didn't grow up that way. So our goal is to perpetuate it to the next generation. And so that's vital. If Christianity is going to continue, that's got to happen. We need to do that in our own families, and we need to do that spiritually as we win people to the Lord and try to get that started. The problem with the loose kind of Christianity in our society that is so prevalent is the chilling effect that it has on the next generation. Okay? Statistics tell us that over 90% of those who grow up in Christian homes, when they graduate from high school, they walk out the doors of the church never to return. Okay? That's chilling. That's frightening. That's scary. And so we want to work hard to make sure that as parents, we do all we can to put our children in a position that when they leave our homes, they will stay close to the Lord and they will remain in the faith and go forward for God. That's what we're looking to do. Turn over to Judges chapter 2. One of the pastors in, I think it might have been Brother Gray, in a youth conference made reference to this. Judges, did I say Jude chapter 2? I was going to say, if you find Jude chapter 2, let me know because it doesn't exist, all right? Judges chapter number 2, please. Judges chapter number 2. In verse number 8, Judges is a bit of a confusing book. It's like, you know, the law books, they get out of the Egypt, you know, and all the backslidden generation dies off, and God starts working on them. They get in the promised land. Joshua's winning, everything's good, and then you come to Judges, and the wheel falls off the car. And it's why? Well, he's going to tell us a little bit about it right here. Judges chapter 2 and verse 8, and Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their father, Joshua's generation. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for them. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. Okay, that's where it's at. Moses left Joshua, and Joshua and his generation and leaders that outlived him that were with him, they basically did okay, but that next generation did not get it and doomed everything. That is what is happening in our country. That is what is happening in Christianity. God sees children as a blessing. The world does not. That's why they'll abort them at the drop of a hat. And they'll call it something ignorant like lady's choice, a woman's choice. I believe it's a woman's choice too. Her choice to get pregnant or not. Once she gets pregnant, the choice has been made. Okay? They don't kill the baby, but we need to look at that next generation and look at what a blessing they can be. Let's have the right mentality about children. People ask us, how many children do you have? 7. They look at you like, what planet are you from? Okay, then when I tell my wife comes from a family of 11, they're like, you have some serious issues. Children are a blessing. Well, thank you, Brother Robert. I'm sure so. I'm glad one person thought that. But they are. But children can, and it happens sometimes, they can cause sorrow and get off the right path. I could name many, many, many great men of God, and if I name their names, you know them, and they've had some children that maybe didn't do so well. Okay, that'll happen. But we can do all we can to pass the faith on. As a parent, you ought to be able to look back as your children move on and say, I've done everything I can to protect them and put them in a position to be able to go forward in the faith. And they will do that. Bible tells us, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But it takes training. Now, the verses we looked at are some sad verses. By the way, they could be describing the generation in which we live, could they not? You see the way that that they react, and it's basically a byproduct of the way they've been brought up. Disrespect for parents and authority. By the way, that not only happens, it's nurtured and fostered in our public school systems. okay? The children can do whatever they want. They can do. They can get abortions behind the parents' back, and the counselor can talk to them and help them, and the parents never have to be consulted. In Canada, and you say, well, this is Canada. I know, but it'll be America soon. In Canada, if your child comes to you and tells you they think they're transgendered, if you try to talk them out of it, they'll take your children away from you. That's Canada. It's coming to a state near you. And by the way, all the nonsense that's going on in our society, it's California is the leading. California is at the forefront. And so we need to be careful. Disrespect for parents and authority. Seeing nothing wrong with their wicked ways. Proud. Think they know everything. I'm talking about this generation. Mean-spirited and lack of care about others. I remember we had a kid who used to go to our school here. His mother pulled him out early. And I don't follow Instagram a lot, but I had somebody on Instagram that filmed him being mean to an older lady, a 70, 80-year-old lady at a mall, just walking up and just being stupid to her. And they thought it was funny, and I made a comment on Instagram, and they didn't really appreciate that. You don't really do that. They're not going to listen anyhow. But that's just our system. Disrespectful. And we need to be careful of that. We have an opportunity with having our children in a good church, being saved, okay, having some opportunities. We have some things to help us along that path to help our children. But we need to be on guard. I say this, you know, we it used to be in the day, it's like, you kids nowadays, you think you have it hard. We had it hard when we were children. We walked to school and it was 10 miles every day. Uphill in a snowstorm, and on the way home it was still uphill, you know. Can I just tell you something? I'm gonna be real honest. We did not have it hard. The children nowadays, if they're gonna try to serve God, they have it 100 times harder than we ever had it. Thanks to technology. And so we don't get on the kids like, "Oh, you kids, suck it up. Don't be sissy." No, they have a lot they're facing. They face temptations we never had. Now, there are some temptations common to man, but you know what I'm saying. It's so much more prevalent and so much more it's easier for them. And so that's why as parents, we need to be careful that we help them. The key is parents that are doing their best to help. You take the temptations that the young generation faces, and you take the parents of today, which have been some brainwashed by our society to forego their God-given responsibility, and you put those two together and you have a recipe for disaster. So we have to be on guard. The message tonight is, and it's not going to be complete, but what's killing the next generation? Okay? And I'm going to talk about things we can help with. And I know what's going to happen. I'm going to name a couple. You're going to roll your eyes like, oh, here we go again. Mr. 1922. We're trying to help you to do the best with what you do with your children. It's up to you. I'll be honest with you. If I was not spiritually minded, if I... somebody said, well, that's debatable. Okay. If I did not believe in the Lord and all these things, I wouldn't have children today. I wouldn't do it. There's just too much facing them. Our children, and now, praise the Lord, I have grandchildren, they are going to face things that we've never had to face. 20 years from now, 25 years from now, if I'm around, listen, I'm at the end. And they're going to be facing some things. Now, that's not to be pessimistic, because with the Lord, they can make it. But we've got to help them. And so I'm going to help you, and I know you're not going to like some of the things. And by the way, take the spirit I'm giving it. I'm not being condemning. I'm not being condescending. I'm trying to help us this night. So just take into account some of the things we're saying. And Pastor used to say it. I used to joke around when Pastor Esposito was here. It was nice not to be the pastor. You hear some of the things in the office, it's like, you need to go talk to Pastor Esposito about that. He can help you. Well, guess what? He's not here. That comes in my office. That comes on my text. That comes the things I hear. And Pastor used to say it, and I'm like, eh, okay, all right. He's like, if you knew what I knew, if you hear the things that I hear, you'd listen to what I have to say. Well, guess what? I'm there. I'm there. So let me be real practical. What's killing the next generation? First, let's look at what's the problem. I'm going to give you some things that are the problem, and then I'm going to give you a couple things to try to be a solution. Are we ready? Number one, they have too much freedom. They have way too much freedom. By the way, I grew up in a single parent home. I had all kinds of freedom, Brother Pichardo. But when I was a kid and I was 10, 11, 12 years old, my buddies and I, we would be gone all day. What we would do, things were different. We'd go do lame things like we would go to construction sites and just play on the construction sites. I still remember those apartments that are on Del Amo, just east of Cherry. That there was a whole block of them, and they were under construction. We sat there all day. Now, we did things that were dangerous. They had the two apartments. They had an empty pool, and there was a single board going across the pool, across the apartment from one second floor to the other, and we just walked across it to see who was not scared. Okay? But that was us. Now, as we got a little older, we did some things we shouldn't have done, all right? But we had freedom. Listen, freedom is killing our children. Well, they tell me, what's wrong? Don't you trust me? Here's the correct answer. No, I don't. And that's not being mean. That's just, I don't trust what's going on around them, and they're not old. See, what our society has done is thrown our children to the wolves. They're not at an age where they're ready to make those decisions. So mommy and daddy make those decisions for them. Well, you know, you're sheltering them for the world. How are they going to make it in the world if you shelter them? They're not ready for that battle. If you are going to be in the military, you don't sign up and they give you a gun and say, hey, we're going to send you to the front line next week. What do they? They train you. They prepare you for the nonsense that is coming out there. They don't put you in it. Our children, our teenagers are not ready for what's out there yet. We're going to prepare them so that they're strong enough when they become adults to stand against what's out there. Freedom. Children need boundaries. Teenagers need boundaries. And I hate to say it, it's the parents' responsibility to do that. You cannot be your children's best friend. Okay? You ought to be their friend in a sense, but you're not their best. I'm not their buddy. Okay? The grandkids, and we're not your typical grandkids, they come over, it's like, hey, Jason, you're my little buddy, or Steve, but you know what, they cross the line, they get in trouble. This isn't, you know, we don't have a grandpa's paddle with a pillow on it. They're going to listen. And maybe it's because I'm a bad grandparent, I'm just cranky, okay? I had seven of my own children, I don't need six more running roughshod. We're not that mean. They get away with some things, all right? But they're not just going to run crazy. But we let our children too much freedom. Now, I will say this. When I was really younger, we were young kids, or we didn't have temptation. But as I got older, that freedom was way too much. As a teenager in high school, the way our house worked, it was kind of an add-on in the back. And I really had, like, my own apartment. I had my own little entrance in the back, my own room, my own shower, my own bathroom. I had way too much freedom. And I knew how to pull it over on my mom. I always just told her where I was. I'll be at Robert's house. I was at Robert's house, but I didn't tell her the 10 other places I stopped on the way to Robert's house. You were a bad influence, Robert. Maybe I could tell you some stories about Robert. There's a reason I don't have hair. But way too much. Now look, my mom did the best she could. I'll be honest with you. I would have been way worse had my mom not been there in the way that she was. But I'll be honest with you, single mom, teenage boy, I could pull the wool over her eyes. I could. Too much freedom. Here's two good rules, okay? Question everything. Trust nothing. My girls, and they're here, and I have some older girls, they're adults, they live at our house, and they go somewhere. If they're not home at a certain time, I'm texting them. find my friend. I know they're not doing anything wrong, but it's like, it's 9:30, time to come home now. Okay? Well, I'm trying to be careful. Too much freedom. Here's a good word every parent ought to learn. You ready? No. Daddy, can I have ice cream? You know, I want to give him ice cream, but I just haven't used that word in a while. No! Please? Okay. Just say no every now and then. That's okay. Say, my children might get upset with me. That's the problem. By the way, if you love them and you're good with them and they'll take it. They'll be all right with it. It's when you've trained them that they can get their little way because they whine and complain. That's when you have issues. Love the fire out of them. I'm not like Mr. Stern and everything is you took too many breaths. But we try to do our best to keep things in place. And I'm not afraid to get them a little bit upset if I have to. Okay, the next thing under what's the problem? Friends, influence. The wrong friends, okay? Help them with that. How many times I've talked to my kids, my children, I'll say, listen, now that's not a bad kid over there. But just you two together, a couple of knuckleheads, I don't want you two just together alone. I know my personality. I was a knucklehead. And there'd be another guy, and he had the same personality as me. You put us together, that was not a good thing. Okay? That's our person. It doesn't mean they're bad. It's like, listen, get somebody else in there, and let's not just, do this. Let's be very careful. By the way, though, if someone is a bad influence, someone might get mad. I know. By the way, be careful about this. Relatives. I am not going to let just my children be around somebody just because my relative. Listen, when I was 16 years old, my older uncle, I won't give his name, I don't want to call him out, but he was probably 30-something years, he'd give me rides to work, and listen, what he was doing when we were on the way to work, you don't want to know. But he was my uncle. He still thought he was 15. Okay, so be careful about that. Be very careful. Watch the influence. Okay, and by the way, I'm going to really get into some things, and you're going to say, I knew that was coming. I don't want to disappoint you. I get it. But some of the things I'm going to mention, influence comes because of these. Okay, here we go. Let's just get at this. Ready? Cell phones, iPads, and iPods. I love you to pieces. Not you, Tim. You'll never, ever, ever are going to change my mind. Nobody that is still in school, and that's high school and down, needs a cell phone. You say, are you a Neanderthal? Kind of, no. I was gonna say my wife pulls me around by the hair, but she couldn't do that. I'm not. I'm a tech guy. I got in, right? Before I was full-time at the church, in the early days of the cell phones, we had our own business. I had a cell phone when nobody else had a cell phone. Not the brick ones, but the mini bricks. They had a battery life of about 30 minutes, and it cost about $12 a minute, so we didn't use it very often. You couldn't even leave it on. Someone had to page you, and then you had to turn the phone on to be able to call them. It was ridiculous. But I'm all for it. But can I just tell you something? Can I tell you something? Every problem we have with teenagers involves an iPod, an iPad, or a cell phone. That right there ought to scare you. And let me appeal to the tightwad in you. You'll save money. They don't need a phone. The fact that they complain to you about it is good enough reason not to give them one. Okay? And I think I stretched it to 18. Josiah graduated from high school. He don't have a cell phone yet because he doesn't turn 18 till November. And sometimes it's irritating because you need to get a hold of him. It's like, so we got two tin cans and a string, but it's a really long string. Same thing. Listen, and I have driving is not, it used to be driving. My kids, when they're 18, they get their license. Why? Can you ever pay for insurance? Okay, come on, think this one through. George lived with us. He got his at 18. I wouldn't let him drive the car until he was almost 19. Okay? I just didn't want to pay the insurance. But they don't need it. Parents, they don't need it. I know some of you aren't going to listen to me, but you're taking a chance of something going on. It's like, check the cell phone. I need to get a hold of them. Make sure they're always with an adult who has a cell phone. Okay? Know where they're at. By the way, if they're in the youth group, I'll give you comfort here. The youth leaders have cell phones. They don't need them. Okay? iPads and iPods. I looked at the music on their iPods. You know, it's the songs of praise. You might want to see what that was really, songs of praise. iPads. If you let them use an iPad, they better be right by you, and you better put some. We just found, I didn't know, Ryan left one at the house, and Emily uses it, my son-in-law. And I'm like, Hannah, put some guards on that thing, and she can't have it unless we're around. Okay? It's just, we got to be very careful. If you don't understand what's out there, it should scare you. But I'm telling you, I've been doing this long enough. There's all kinds of stuff. They don't need to put apps on there, and they don't need to chat. They don't need to chat. Back before cell phones were big, you know, before all the kids were getting them, I didn't even let my children take phone calls from their friends on the regular phone. If someone called, it's like they're calling for something that has to do with school. You have a minute. You have 2 minutes. Okay, when you're home, you're home. When you're with your friends at school, you can be with your friends at school. Not against that, but when you're home, you're with the family. I don't want you just locked in your room. You're with us. That's our time. Okay? And so I can't say it strongly enough. Well, we have a relative who lets their child have one. Okay, let's see how it goes in 10 years. Well, you know, they got in trouble. It was because of this. Every time we check, a cell phone, an iPad, and iPods involved. I would say 99 times out of 100, but it may be more. I'm not being an old prude here. I'm a technology guy. I got the latest phone, I got an iPad, and I got a Mac. Back in the day before they had all those, I had a Palm Pilot. I love that thing. It had the power of a blow dryer, but I don't know, there was something about it. The first little handheld PDA, man. If I could find one now, I'd buy one. Okay? It was a cell phone that was not on steroids. At the black and white screen that a lot more often than not looked brown. So I used that stuff. But I know the dangers inherent in it. And so, next, social media. I'm not against all social media for adults. Okay? Now, by the way, there is some of the social media I am against because there's a lot of junk attached. That something new is always coming up. I was with one of the pastors recently. We were in the car and I got a phone call. One of their good kids in the school, in high school, has a phone. See the last point. They had this new social media app. Here's what it does. It puts you into situations with somebody else who's on the social media. And for instance, the one that she got in, they were taking a trip together. And just so happens the other guy was a guy. And what happened in this scenario, things happen and you have to decide together what you're going to do. Well, what happened in their scenario, the car broke down, they had to stay the night in a hotel, and so they had to dialogue back at night. Are they going to stay the night together in the same room? Don't let your kids pull the wool over your eyes. Okay, if they don't have a phone and all this other stuff, you don't have to worry about it. But be very careful about social media at that age. It allows them to connect with people they should not connect with. And they're not old enough or wise enough yet to understand what is completely good or bad. And so we're going to help them until they get to that point. Okay, you say, well, you're just, no, I have email. I will say one thing about our ilk of Christianity. We're very cautious. You know, when pagers came out, it's like, let's check that, you know, email, all this other stuff. But we need to be careful. Particularly for our children's sake. By the way, it's a rule in our school. And I'll just throw this out there because I'm probably not going to be real popular tonight, but that's okay. Through something, it's like some of the kids, as soon as summer comes, they get a social media account because the rule book wasn't clear about it. That's fine, but next summer it will be clear. If you're going to be in this school, you're not going to have social media during the summer. Touche. Okay? Now look, they said, well, the college students get to have it. They graduate from high school. So when you graduate from high school, get a phone, get your little social, but still be careful. Okay? But right now, you don't need that. So let's be very, very careful. Let's help them. Next, and you know our thoughts on this, the opposite gender. You say, are you against the opposite gender? No, I married one. It's funny. You know, I was in Bible college. I thought for a while that God might want me to be a missionary to Mexico, and I was open to it. I was confused. He wanted me to marry a Mexican. It was a whole different thing. Okay. So in a sense, I was a missionary. I did win her. But I'm not against it. But I am for those that are in high school. Listen, let your teenagers be, let them be teenagers. Fact of the matter, most of the people I know that get married aren't ready to get married anyhow. Okay, but that we're not, they're not ready for those kind of relationships in the birth. Not to mention, even if they are, if you start dating someone at 14, it's going to be really hard to go from 14 to 20 and stay right with the same person. Now the girls are like, I can do that, and he said he could. Let me tell you something about him. He is a liar. Or else he's going to end up down here in May walking through the Long Beach Parade. Okay, it doesn't work that way. Enjoy your teenage years. And you know our thoughts on that. Wait till you get out of college. Wait till you get out of high school and you can see yourself heading towards that thing and have your parents be involved so the relationship can go right. But in high school, nothing good comes from that. It's just a bunch of drama in the youth group, and this person hates that person because he liked them last week, and now you got my ex-boyfriend. And man, it's nothing but a Christian soap opera. Okay, without the commercials. Be very careful. Parents, let's help with that. Next thing is unfiltered internet access. That's what happens on all those other devices. You do know that, right? And your kids, your children, are smart enough to get to those sites and get off and hide them from you. Yeah. No child should have a computer in their bedroom, ever. We have a computer. It's an iMac. I like the way our house is. Most of you, all of you have been there this summer or at one time. It's like a big U-shape. You know, you come in, there's the living room, the dining room area and kitchen, and then the family room, one big U. And right in the middle where everybody sitting anywhere in the U is the computer, so if they're on it, you can see everything. Okay? So that's how it is. I was gonna say, that's how we roll. That's just how it is. This is how it is. Why? We've got to be very careful. There's a lot of junk on the internet. Your kids will find it. Your kids will find it. I'm not saying they can't get on the internet. I'm saying it cannot be unfiltered and it cannot be hidden. Okay, so watch what they're doing. The stuff on the internet is scary. This message I already had prepared, but and then I got an article about a website, a gaming site called Steam. It has like 33 million users on it. They allow children under 18 to play video games that are pornographic in nature. They get points in one game for going to a party depending on how far they can get someone else to go with them. That's not a gaming. Oh, it's just, when we think gaming, we think asteroids, space invaders, Galacta. You know, is that Galaxa? You know, the one with that, and you shoot the little bugs that are coming down at you? That's not what's going on today. There's a lot of bad things out there. Let's be very, very, very careful. Music. Be careful about music. The person who listens to the wrong kind of music, I've said it over and over and over, you will struggle in your Christian life. Again, you're not my office, and I don't have room for all of you anyhow. But you see, guys, they're having an argument or something, and I've seen the text, and they go off in the text towards their spouse or whatever, and it's like they just went straight into a rap song. You know, not like, I'm mad at you, and how come, it's like, yo, dog, and other things, and it's like, what rap song have you been listening to get that? It's the music we listen. You're never going to go farther in your Christian life than your music will take you. Okay? And I've given I'm not giving my testimony again, but it didn't take me long to figure out my music was capping me out, so I got rid of it, and they didn't even preach a message about music. I just knew it wasn't good. It was totally against what I was reading in my Bible. Be very careful. By the way, they know how to hide it. I had a roommate in Bible college. He had a Jack Hiles tape, and I was just kind of thinking, there's something wrong with this guy. I'd come home and we had a room and there was several rooms and he was in a room with me and all of his friends were there and they're like bozos and I'm not trying to be crazy. I'm like, there's something wrong with these guys. And I'd kick them out like, you guys just get out. You're being nuts. And I got his tape and I listened to it and he had put rock music on that tape. Okay. And I worked a lot. I was hardly there. My dorm got called in. You know, Baptist City, room 47, please meet Dr. Meister in the hallway. That was, when they said things like that in chapel, that was never a good thing. And it's like, I'm working all the time. I was never there. Like, we heard rock music coming from your room. Who's listening to it? There was like four or five guys in there. Okay? And by the way, they were always in trouble at school. We need to be, our kids can hide it on us. No, I read it. It says Patch the Pirate. You know how come it says Patch the Pirate? They typed it in to say Patch the Pirate. By the way, it helped also if we listened to the right music too. You ought to listen to Brother Gray's message on music from Youth Conference. It was very, very good. What else? What they watch. Be careful. Don't just give them unfiltered access to videos they watch on their iPad, to whatever they watch on television. Be very careful about that. There's a lot of junk out there. And don't get these premium channels. You know, HBO or whatever it is. They show filth. They show filth. You know, we wonder why some of the kids are cussing. It's like, where are they getting that from? Well, they've heard a stream of that profanity on the stuff they're watching. Okay? Bad stuff. So let's be very, very careful. What they watch. And then the last thing is this. And there's so many more, but I'm trying to be real practical. Inconsistency. This is where the Christianity in the home is inconsistent with the Christianity they profess at church. Now, by the way, your children don't expect you to be perfect. Because if children expected us to be perfect, we would all be in a world of hurt, right? It's hard to get up and talk about being a parent, anybody, and have absolute confidence in it because we all know we're flesh. But we can do the best we can. And really what children are looking for is, are you trying to live what you say you live? Is the direction of your life, this is important. But when we're inconsistent in our Christian values, it sends a message to the children, it's not important. Now, you're here on Sunday night, I wouldn't get on you, but you know, like we miss services for things that aren't very important. We send the message to our children, church isn't important. Okay, whatever it is, you just name it. We allow our children. There was a study many years ago, and we've mentioned this before, of the children, the teenagers in a church, the best ones, where do they come from? The best ones are teenagers who come from parents who are Christians who strive to live their faith. The second best group in the church come from homes where the parents typically aren't even Christians at all. The worst group are those who come from homes where they have parents that go to church but don't even try to live it. Because the children get the message, it's not real anyhow. See, the other kids, they come here, they come on their own because their parents aren't saved or don't come to church, and so they're choosing on their own to serve God. So let's just do the best. Not, are we perfect? No, but we ought to do our best to be the best we can, and our children see we're trying to do that. They love us. They're going to cut us some slack. All right, so that's the problems. So what's the solution? Let me get about 5 minutes, and we'll be done. What can we do? Well, it's not easy. Let me just give you a couple thoughts. First of all, and let me say this. No amount of church or school, and I don't say this to be condemning. Please understand my spirit. No amount of church or school can overcome parents who let their kids do these things. We can't overcome it. We try. I had many, probably 25 years ago, we had some of my relatives from out of state. They were down here for a while. They were struggling in their life. They had all kinds of stuff in their life. But we put their junior high girl in our Christian school. And she did something that was a violation of the rule. And I pulled her aside. I went to the school there. I pulled her aside during class. I brought her outside. I said, no, why would you do that? You know what we believe. You know what the rules are. And she said, well, my mom thinks it's okay to do that. She doesn't care what I do. And I said, you know, I understand that. And I tried to give her my testimony. I said, as a young man, when I started going to church, I didn't have to change. My mom really didn't, it wasn't a big deal to her. I did it on my own. I said, so you kind of, your mom doesn't understand right now. You kind of just need to do it because it's the right thing, not because you're allowed to do it. And, you know, she really didn't get that in her life. She has all kinds of troubles. But some get that. But let's say this. Parents, let us do what we can to help our children and put them in a good position. Okay? That's the point I'm making. First, accept a challenge. Be the parent. Parent is not a, is just not a title. It's a job description. We're not just a parent because we have children. That just means we have children. We're a parent because we're trying to parent them. We are trying to lead them. We are trying to help them to be what they want to be. You will have to make your rules, and you will have to enforce them. You're going to have to be the ones that just take the challenge and say, I'm going to take the challenge for my children. Next, fight it. Fight it. Oswald doesn't like it. Tough luck. Love them. I'm not saying be mean-spirited. I'm saying love them. But just say, I know you don't understand it. I know you're mad, but, you know, I've got to do what's best. I'm the parent. One day you'll be an adult. You'll be able to do what you want, but you're in my home now, and this is how we're going to do things. Don't give in to them because they whine and cry. Don't do it. Fight it. It's worth it. You're going to hear all the phrases. You don't trust me. That's an easy one. You're right, I don't. One day I will, when you're an adult. Okay? But others do it. Okay, but I tried all these when I was a teenager. Well, I'm not their parent. I'm yours. Okay? I'll be weird. You already are, but now you'll just have a reason. Okay? Fight it. Don't give in. Okay? Do it. See. Now get support. It works best when the school and the church and the home are in agreement together. One thing I do not do, I would not do, I don't let my children try to pin the school between us. By the way, have your kids ever been in trouble in the school? Oh, yeah. And by the way, I took the school side. Many years, Brother Esposito called, and Steven, he's a good kid, but he was junior high. I don't know. He's like, we went through a phase where Brother Esposito, everybody got a SWAT for everything. Amen. Brother Chim got a SWAT one time for showing up late. And he called and said, listen, Steven did something. It wasn't horrible, but it was a violation of rules. He goes, I offered him 5 SWATs or detention. He took the detention. What do you think? I'm like, okay, he can have the detention, but give him the SWATs too. He gets both. Okay, well, by the way, children know that if you listen to them, and they're not, and when I say this, you're saying my kid's bad. No, your kid's like my kid. They all try this. They'll try to, if they know that every time they say something, you're going to just automatically take their side and the school is bad and the church is bad, well, they know they won the battle. Now, that doesn't mean we won't ask. One time something happened to the girls' volleyball team or years ago, and Brother Esposito gave them a punishment, and the girls weren't whining about it. They said, oh, yeah, we're not doing this. Somebody did this, and so the whole team got punished. And I thought, well, good. I personally didn't think it was right for the whole team to get punished. Now, I didn't tell my kids that, but I went to Brother Esposito. I said, hey, what happened? And he told me, I said, you know, that's fine. My girls told me, and I'm all for your punishment. I'm like, but, you know, I don't know. I'm just thinking it through here. Do you think it's one girl did that? Why would everybody get in trouble for that? And I left it at that. He thought about it, and he went to the team, and he apologized. He said, you know, all of you should not have gotten in trouble for that. I think he bought him ice cream. I didn't get anything. But I'm not going to tell my little Oswald, well, how dare he treat my girls like that? No, I'll go talk to him about it, but I don't want to undercut the authority. I want to work together with them. We all have to work together. We're here to support you, okay? And we wanted all of us to work together, and that's going to help the children get to where they need to be. Get support. I was glad to have other people looking at my kids. You know, you ever heard, you know what it means to be myopic? That's what myopic is. All we see is one thing. And by the way, we've had in the past where some of them come and say, no, you're with, you're against my kid, or you're this or that, I'm pulling them out, and blah, 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 and it usually doesn't turn out very well. If there is an issue, though, I will say this, because we work together, let's talk together. We're not perfect, right? We work it out. Like, you know what, if we do something, and we said something we shouldn't have said to your kid, I'm sure we didn't mean it, but you know what, we'll own up to it for dead sure. I've had people come up, I'm here, there's something, and they'll tell me some things. It's like, you know, you're right. We didn't handle that one right. We'll fix that. But we got to work together. Our goal is the same as your goal. We want what's best for your children too. We want you to be able to get them to where they need to be. And so, by the way, some kids are more, and some of you have kids that are just real high energy and they're irritating. I've had kids like that. And you know what's going to happen? They're either going to be serial killers or they're going to be the best missionaries this world has ever. Look at high energy boys don't bother me. Kids that are constantly like, can someone do something with that kid? He's always getting in trouble because he's got so much energy. That doesn't bother me. If we keep with that kid, when that kid gets a little bit more mature, man, you set him in this world on fire for God, it's going to be all good. But right now, we're not quite sure. Okay? You know? So the kid's like, I wish that kid would just shut up. Why is the kid always, that's their personality. That's how God wired them. And they just can't control it right now. It doesn't bother me. But let's work together to get them to that place. And I would say this. Stay faithful. Now, raising kids is not easy. It's a blessing, but sometimes it's a challenge, right? We're there. And some of you are in situations where you're a single parent. God bless you. That's hard. And I totally, man, I put my mom through it. My brother was worse. I told my mom, at least I waited till high school to drop out. My brother dropped out in junior high. So I was better than him, okay? At least I graduated from college. He didn't even try that. And my brother's a good guy now. Has been. But you know, we drove her crazy. But she stuck with us. And she did the best she could as a single mom. And I know it's hard to be a single parent. By the way, that's why we're here for you. Let us help you. Be with us. Now, let me say this and I'm done. This is the hard part. If you would listen to some of these things, you need to go home and take your kid's cell phone away. Say, well, you could sell it and get several hundred dollars. And by the way, no data plan, okay? You need to do that. Some of you need to go home, and if you let them ever use an iPad, number one, it shouldn't be theirs. Number two, they should not have free access or reign to it. And number three, get someone to help you put parental guides on there that they can't get around. And only let them use it when you're around, okay? And by the way, it's helpful to use it. They use it for school, and man, you could learn. Look, an 8-year-old can learn how to rebuild a Ford motor on YouTube. And if you own a Ford, you're going to need to know how. Okay, because it's going to happen when you're on the road somewhere. But some of you need to go home and make some changes for their sake. Now, how is it going to go? No, well, they're going to fight you. But you need to say, I love you, and this is best for you, and this is how it's going to be. And when you become adult, you'll be able to do these things, and you'll be mature enough. But until then, I'm going to help you be in a safe place. We don't understand the garbage that's out there. I'm just telling you, it's bad. They can connect with all kinds of stuff, and we have no clue what it is. They're not old enough to make those decisions. Let's help them. Let's get them to, let's do everything we can to put them in a position when they become adult to make the right decisions because they've not already been ruined. Let's pray together. Let's all stand just for a minute.